Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Red Men TV podcast. I am Paul Machin. Over there is Chris Pajak, and in between us, sandwiched in a Machex Pajak butty, is Ross Chandley. And he's delighted by that fact as well. Look at his little face. Yeah, made up. Yes, we're gonna be talking predominantly, of course, around the news. The fans are going to be allowed back into stadia from the 2nd of December. What that could look like, and the massive, massive elephant in the room, which is going to be how the hell you go about choosing who gets those tickets at Anfield. But first, we've got a kick-off question that comes from Henry Jackson. He says, would you rather add a foot and a half to your current height for the rest of your life or have a foot and a half taken away? I feel like this is a more difficult question for me than used to.
It's not a difficult question. The only uncertainty comes from how is the foot and a half added? Is it like added to, you know, like heels? Like, you know what I mean? or are you just proportionately grown by a foot and a half? Like, you know what I mean? Like, your forehead just goes a foot and a half bigger.
You just got like a wand turret on the top, like a unicorn horn on the top of your head.
Yeah, because otherwise it's dead easy. Like, it's no one saying smaller.
You make it sound like you wanted heels for a second then.
No. Like, if it's just a foot and a half taller, isn't it?
No.
Why?
Because I'd be 7 foot. I'd be like 8 foot tall. That'd be
You'd be 5 foot if you took that off.
Yeah, but like, I don't think you understand how impractical it is being tall. Like, it's already difficult. Like, I'm on the verge of
really, being really tall, dark, and handsome, Chris. Dead annoying.
Thanks, Ross. but yeah, no. I that's what I mean. I think for you, of course, you'd be taller because if a foot and a half would make you like what
four foot smaller
would make you. Like, really,
four and a half
unfunctionally
foot.
Small.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd be, 5 foot would be
someone
small.
Someone being taller? What's the inconvenience?
Like, you can't fit in cars, you can't go on aeroplanes, you can't get through doors,
You can't get through doors?
I banged my head on a door frame this weekend.
What? Look where you're going.
Yeah, but you've got, this is just...
Are you jumping through doors? Because door frames are 6'6 and you're 6'4.
I jumped.
Right, well, there you go. You're the idiot here.
That's your first problem.
And also, what are you doing jumping through door frames when you're 6'4?
You've
been 6'4 since you were 16 years old. You should really know by now not to jump through the door frame.
Just come out of nowhere, them doors, mate.
All right, watch out for you.
Put that door there that's been in this house since the 1960s. Again, but it's all like, ha, 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 but it's not something you have to experience, so you don't know. Like, again, things like buying clothes, dead difficult when you're taller.
Just go to High and Mighty.
It's cheaper when you... Yeah, all right, yeah. Where's that, by the way?
Know.
Exactly.
Wasn't no town. Fucking clue. You can go Cotton Traders, I reckon.
Jackamo.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Already, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So you'd go smaller?
I would be... That's what I'm saying, it's a difficult question. I would probably go smaller than taller. I don't want... It's tricky being my height. I don't want to be any taller than I am. I don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be happy being short, but like, I think clothes are cheaper for a start, easier to get hold of. You could probably shop in the kids section at that age, like, you know. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? That's it. You know, so what's small, get your small wins where you can, literally, you know, no pun intended.
What'd you do?
I'd taller.
Yeah,
taller. So you're what, 5'11"?
Yeah,
5'10",
yeah. Same size as you, yeah.
Yeah. But Chris is just under.
You're right. If you go small, it's too small.
It wouldn't be great being that small. I mean, I'm not, you know, obviously for a variety of other reasons, but again, just think like just public transport travel would be loads easier.
When did you get public transport?
Okay, but planes, not really public transport, but you know what I mean? Flying's horrible, like, because it's just, you like, this, and getting in the backseat of cars, like, basically impossible. There's a types of car that I can't buy that are not open for me to buy. Your Picanto, like, I remember test driving one and being like, well, that's clearly not, like, designed for, not designed for a person if I built that in any way, shape, or form.
Of Simpsons.
Well, like a fucking fighter jet, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I'm going to fly a fighter jet, but that wouldn't be the point, but there's certain vehicles that are built for small builds, like, I mean, you could, being a jockey was always out from day one.
Jesus Christ,
well. No, I'd go smaller.
Yeah, I get that.
Gravity does you no favours the bigger you get as well. More wear and tear on the joints and all that kind of stuff.
And you fall up when you walk into doors.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't have to jump to bang my head on door frames this time, like, you know what I mean? So I'd have no excuse. I'd have to become very good at limbo if I was to exist.
What about the footy, though? You don't have to go like that over anyone's head.
Well, to be fair, you don't want to sit in the fucking main stand or anything like that, do you? Or the Kemlin or whatever, with being 7 foot tall.
No, exactly. Yeah, the cops are already a nightmare in that regard. But standing up would be a nightmare for anyone behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to see if you're smaller. Yeah, it's a tricky question. You're right, for the vast majority of people, that would be a no-brainer of an answer, because you've probably always wanted to be taller. Yeah.
Not really, Paul.
Yeah, are there any advantages to being smaller, though?
Not really.
No.
All the things that I've said are problems for me, and not
you. You moan about being tall much more than someone 5'10 moans about being 5'10.
Yeah.
So, like, it's never really been a thing for me to be taller or smaller.
Yeah.
I'm just fine. It doesn't really, I don't bang my head on doors equally. You know, I don't slip into the washing machine when I'm walking down the kitchen.
Yeah, there you go. What would you do? Let us know. You can interact with us live on the podcast if you're on YouTube right now.
I'm stuck in the washing machine again.
Yeah, yeah. I can't reach the door handle to get in the house again. Like, yeah, can't lower the shower head down. All small people problems, I imagine. Thanks, Henry, for the question. That's good stuff. Right, yes, we are going to be talking about the lockdown changes and fans coming back into ground. The fan code of conduct that's being proposed around this, and how the hell you go about picking up to 4,000 Liverpool fans to go into Anfield. Yeah, that should be fun. But before then, yes, we've got our book. It is available right now. The special edition is sold out right now. At the moment, it's absolutely flown. So thanks to everyone who's picked one up. But yeah, if you want to get the normal edition, you can do. Hey, welcome back to the Redmen TV podcast. Yes, the book is available now, today, on everything on the Redmen merch store. So that's books, that's Christmas sweatshirts and t-shirts, mugs, all of that good stuff of Redmen 10-year anniversary merch. If you are outside of the UK and you want guaranteed delivery for Christmas, today is the cutoff. Nothing to do with us. It's just the mail. It's not our responsibility beyond that. It's possible that you would, if you ordered after that fact, that you might get it before Christmas, because again, it's an absolute crapshoot with the world at the moment. But yeah, if you want what the local, you know, mail are calling guaranteed Christmas delivery for international EU, do that today and have the best possible odds of having your awesome stuff ahead of Christmas. Yes. Gents.
Hi.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, first and foremost, just top-line reactions to it. Ty kind of ran around the office yesterday when the news broke that football fans would be allowed back into grounds. It kind of feels a little bit at odds with the world at the moment and all this, doesn't it, Chris? But taking all that aside, like, footy's shit without football fans in the grounds. It just is. It's crap. We're trying to. It's the Emperor's New Clothes kind of situation. We've all tried to make the best of it. I mean, you got the fake crowd noise and all that stuff, but footy's bollocks without fans.
Yeah. It really is. And, you know, the thing is, we kind of gotten used to it a little bit, but it doesn't feel the same watching a game. Even if you were watching a game on the telly anyway, you know, we don't go to every single game. Like, I enjoyed watching it on the telly more when there was fans in stadiums. And don't get me wrong, this is much better than not having any football, because that was a horrible time during the first lockdown when there was no footy and there was nothing to do with the weekends. At least now, during the weekends, they're bearable. You've got footy on, you've got elite level sports, and you're able to, and you're filling your weekend. That's why the lockdowns haven't been as bad this time around, because we've got stuff to watch and it's been a big thing. But I'm not going to say it's too soon, because I don't think it is too soon, but also I'm kind of wary that the government have messed a lot of things up. And I think any government, to be fair, would have messed a lot of things up at this, you know, over the last year. I'm not just having a go with the Tories this time. Mm-hmm. And it strikes me as maybe this is another thing that they're getting wrong. You know what I mean? Although I want it and I want to go back into the stadiums and I want to see fans in there. Looking at the broad, how many people are allowed into places, just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Like, I think football and Premier League clubs in particular, dead safe.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about across the board that football doesn't feel right.
Yeah, there's lots of work that needs to be done. The thing about it at the moment, Ross, is that watching footy on the telly, and we've kind of missed out on a lot of this, Chris and I, and obviously you saw it firsthand doing the game with me the other week, because we're not watching it with volume anyway, so we're just doing our own thing, so we're not seeing what's wrong with it in the same way. But it's like if you ever go abroad and you watch an English programme that you know, it's like catching a Friends that's dubbed into Spanish. It feels off, the whole experience, like the crowd noise thing and all that kind of stuff. There's I'm craving it. I miss that natural reaction. That's why I feel so weird and so forced, the fake crowd and stuff. Just genuine human reactions to things adds so much value to what they're doing.
But I don't know, it's been helped by VAR for certain reactions. Mm. But you're right, it's like Chris said, you're just trying to replace something, get the best out of a bad situation, which, to be honest, I still don't think this will be it. Like, I'm craving to go to the game, but even going to the game where there's going to be potentially 4,000 fans isn't going to be the same as what you were doing last year.
No.
Do you know what I mean? You know, you might get to that thinking, oh, I really want to go to this, and get there, and it's a bit, meh. Do you know what I mean? It's not the same, but for the chance to go to the game and actually watch live football, I think we'd all take that.
Especially
right now.
Especially if they're talking about not being able to sing and not being able to have a pint, and you're going to be sat on
your
own.
It's controlled, isn't it?
It's just weird. I mean, as an experience, it's something I want to experience,
yeah.
But it's not going to the game. And after, if you were lucky enough to get 8 tickets, after 8 games, you might go, it's shit.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's a whole day experience. It's going to the pub before the game, or yeah, meeting friends, having a couple of pints, then you go into the game afterwards, you know,
it's
you fall to the pub again.
It's interesting, because I've just done press box with Chris Bascombe, and he said it's rubbish. Like, he's like, we're in the privileged position where we're going in the grounds. And he said, it's rubbish. You're actually almost better watching it on the telly, because you're not as privy to the fact that it's rubbish. And this is the thing, all of us, because I've been thinking about it, like, when I see journalists inside Anfield and they're watching the warm-up, that's the thing I'm missing, the stupid things about footy. You know, it's not necessarily going to the pub, because I haven't really been in that culture for a long time anyway. It's the being in the ground an hour before the game kicks off and watching the goalkeepers come out and go through all those. They're the bits that I really enjoy
around
footy.
You feel the atmosphere build as well,
aren't you? But we're talking about the people who've got access to that are like, you know, for them, it's all about the context of our lives. So going in a ground where, and we'll talk through the specifics on this in a second, but hypothetically, like with 4,000 people in, would feel to us monumental. That would feel amazing. It would feel crap by comparison to what it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like the same you were saying, Chris, getting to see footy, even without anything going, all the bits and pieces around it, felt loads better than that time when there was no footy. So, you know, we'll be in a position where there's going to be a lot of, there'll be privileged people, and I think everyone will buzz off it. It might not, actually, I say that, it might not be for some, and that might help the situation a little bit, but right now, there's none of us who wouldn't want to go and try.
Oh, absolutely.
What it looked like.
But, I'm not as au fait with what the rules will be for pubs and stuff like that in these tiers, right? But if they opened the pub up and you could get loads of people in there and they were all right singing at tables, you'd probably get a better atmosphere in the pub than in the ground if they're going to ban singing. But I'd want to go, obviously, because I want to see the players.
Well, let me just spell it out then, what we know about it so far. So in tier one of lockdown, so obviously the lockdown as we know ends from the 2nd of December onwards. There'd be 3 tiers again. Tier one means 4,000 spectators or 50% capacity of that venue, whichever is lower, and 2,000 or 50% capacity for indoor venues. In tier two, it's 2,000. So again, for the sake of Anfield, if Liverpool come out of lockdown and go into tier two, there will be a 2,000 Liverpool fans allowed back into Anfield. If we go back into tier three, there won't be allowed to do it. So the hope is that we'll go for tier one. The rumours are that Liverpool will come back out into tier two, which is, I mean, I wonder whether people will even bother for 2,000, which is a problem.
Well,
because
there's a
cost.
Yeah, there's a cost thing, isn't there, which they've got to weigh up. And, you know, it just feels so wrong, to be honest with you. I was saying to you before, Paul, the theatre thing. Like, let's say you're a theatre with a capacity of 2,000 indoors. You're allowed 1,000 people in there. Right, so it's one person every two seats. You're in Anfield, and you've got a capacity of 2,000 to a 50,000 stadium. And I know it's bigger than 50,000, but my point is, you've got one person to 25 seats outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
What? When indoors is the main problem, when we've been saying outdoors is okay, like, why?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Can anyone answer that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think part of it might be to do with transport. This might come down to how you pick tickets and how that goes about, because, you know, we can have 25,000 people, let's say, for example, but where do they go before and afterwards? Are they on public transport? Are they on trains? Are they on buses? We're at a theatre. I think it's, well, significantly lower, isn't it? Well, you might have the same issues. Well, I think you're right.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you could stagger start time, so you have to get into the stadium. Some people might have to get into the stadium an hour before, an hour and a half before, whatever. Like, the transport links to a football stadium, generally speaking, for Premier League anyway, are pretty damn good wherever you are. Theatres could be anywhere, you know, and then they could have problems with transport more likely than football. But on the basis of just the numbers and stuff, I'm like, well, that's stupid. And also, what's the capacity to feed these people as well? Like, if you think about it like this, right? So I heard someone on the radio say this morning, actually, so I'm going to take pretty much their point, all told. Chester fan and an Everton fan, I think he was. So I go to Chester when Everton aren't playing, and their capacity is around 7,000, so they're allowed 3,500 in if they're in Tier 1, right? Pretty much 1,800 people go to Chester games on average. They're at full capacity, full working capacity to service those 1,800 people. Now, think of the amount of kiosks that you have in a small ground. You're then dealing with 1,800 people. To do that safely for 10,000 people, even, never mind 4,000 people in a Premier League club, think of how many things there are. You could just safely feed and water all of the vans and stuff like that. It's mad.
Yeah, and I think this is part. I think I didn't consider the transport thing, as I think that's mega, because just to the point, I mean, you're right, theatres could be anywhere, but you find theatres tend to be in city centres, don't they? So you've got your transport links are more based there. I don't think that's the consideration, by the way, because, I mean, fucking hell, there were people watching Arsene Wenger, you know, sit down having a chat about footy in an indoor space when you couldn't have people go out and watch him outdoors in a football ground. If you did some keepy-ups on a piece of grass, that wouldn't be allowed. But sorry, Ross. It feels like, again, this is the problem with all rules, is that they've created a quick blanket rule that we're looking at it from a Liverpool perspective, a 54,000 capacity stadium, but it also applies to to Chester. It also applies to a League One, League Two side, and all that kind of stuff. For whom, you know, there's. Yeah, the capacities and all that kind of thing. It does feel like it should be scaled, but you enter into a conversation. One of the problems with it is the how there'll be issues of fairness that come into this as well. I guarantee this will be the discussion, and it wouldn't shock me if it was some fucking idiot that we don't like. So if Karen Brady rocks up for some reason and says, if London come out in Tier 3, say. So none of the London clubs are allowed to have fans back in. Don't be shocked when West Ham are against fans being allowed back into stadia all of a sudden.
They fucking hate them anyway.
Yeah, that too. Because but what I mean is because
they've got a point though, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But exactly. But I mean, it's funny, isn't it, that all the clubs have been pushing towards, we need fans back in because we need to generate income. You know, we blah blah blah. And then because of the inconsistencies in the rule, you'll find, and I think a few people will be taken aback by this notion. But I'm saying, is it'll happen, and they'll have a valid. You're right. They'll have a valid point over it. But that's the thing. I'm sure we'd feel that way. Imagine going to a ground where you can go and get they've got their full 4,000 allowance. But we're not allowed a single person in the ground because of it. This is the point. There needs to be nuance to this, but at the moment, there's no nuance. There's just three things that could possibly happen.
Does it feel like it was rushed? Because the Premier League clubs didn't know until yesterday that this was happening, and all the football clubs didn't know. So why didn't they just speak to these clubs before some fella who doesn't know what they're doing decides a rule for everybody?
Feels like there's a lot of that going on in the world.
Yeah. The nuance should be, and I've said this for a few weeks, that clubs should be able to do it themselves. Like you're saying, staggered start times and you know, leaving times, whatever. But we've been to Anfield since then, and when we walked in, temperature check. You know, all these Liverpool and Premier League clubs have the procedures to allow more into the grounds. And on that basis, like you said, the clubs, I think Manchester United, Liverpool, and a couple of others said a couple of weeks ago, we're ready to take X amount of players into our stand. We've got all the protocol in place that ensures that people are safe, and if you're not safe, you just get turned away. Them's are the rules.
And they're talking, aren't they, about, like, you know, making sure that fans aren't using public transport. I've already read a couple of articles where they've said that. Now, like, let's take the capacity of 2,000, right? Think of those car parks that we've got. You could give everybody pretty much a car parking space, and if you didn't, maybe there's a public order that says you're allowed to use the streets close by to park your cars on for free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because there's loads of double yellows
open
all around.
Season for the local five finger discounters there. Like, you know.
Maybe, but there is ways of getting more cars around Anfield specifically. Okay. That might not be the case for Newcastle, whose ground is in the city centre. You know, completely different set of rules. But again, this isn't one rule fits all, is it? It's not one size fits all at all.
Do the comparison I was going to make before. Sorry, I don't know if you saw Legoland about 3 weeks ago or
no,
certainly during our
missed that one.
Literally, I was doing around on Twitter and go, but they had staggered seats and it was just full of people. I know it's a bit of whataboutery, but. Why is that allowed? Who's monitoring that? Who's policing that?
Some 17-year-old.
Yeah.
On minimum
yeah.
wage.
Oh, yeah. he doesn't give a fuck. But if that's allowed to happen with no repercussions, why can't you have people in a safe environment with protocols and with those things in place?
No, it's right. And it has to be careful. And again, this is all adds into the cost of putting this on for people. Like, you know, as a daft example of it, before the recent bout of lockdown and the tears and what have you, me and my missus went out to town. We're like, right, we'll go Pop World, because why not? We're young, not really. But it was tables only. And then you were literally not allowed to stand up and dance, and you had the staff, and we were talking about this about your mate's bar and how like it's difficult because the staff job becomes go fun police.
Yeah,
you go around and you've got to literally walk around and make sure nobody is standing up and nobody's dancing because they're the rules, because you get shut down, and football's going to have that additional costs added to it of like making sure fans stay apart. How are you going to tell people when you know that they're not allowed to run over there and hug that person when someone's... But Bobby Firmino finally scores that goal. And how do you stop yourself from being overcome? These are all the things. But going back to it, you're right, there's a scaled approach to this. Liverpool are going to be amongst the best prepared in the world for this. Man United will be amongst the best prepared. All the big clubs who've got the modern stadium relatively will be able to be well prepared for this. But there's things... And we're just going to end up with another example of... It feels like the biggest and the richest get preferential treatments and all these kind of things. But that's, again, because that's just the nature of how they're set up.
But there's a safety thing, isn't there? Like, you know, again, not to come back to the theatre stuff, maybe the Chester stuff's a good one. If Chester's capacity is 7,000 and they're allowed 3,500 in, that's 1-1. It's one seat, one empty, one seat. Liverpool would be 1-25. Yeah. You know, clearly that's... much more. You could have 10,000 in and it would still only be 1-5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I would say on that it's a start.
So it
might be this for a week, 2 weeks, and you've got to build towards that and put a positive spin on it. it's something better than what we've got now. Right.
And you're also not like ending a situation where you, there's a big load of money coming in and you breathe and you take, like, so let's say you pull a load of staff off furlough and you go, right, because footy's back now, so all the casual staff or like the stewards, because they'll have to, some of them will have to come back in. Loads of these people won't be currently employed by a lot of football clubs. And then what happens is your region goes into tier 3 lockdown.
Back on the furlough.
Exactly. And you, but can you move that quickly enough that it's not going to cost you a massive chunk of money? Because the false dawn might actually, again,
doesn't really affect the Premier League clubs so much, but exactly, does affect massively the clubs further down the pyramid.
Absolutely. Or if you let 25,000 people in straight away, you're back to square one in a couple of weeks potentially, not because of what's going on, but because of people going to football.
It's interesting. A couple of points, obviously, in around that, and just to how the tiers and stuff are working, is there's still I'll get it up more accurately in a minute, but like obviously tier three is still bars and pubs. I think pubs are definitely shut.
Hospitality's still closed.
Yeah, so like a tier two then is, I think I'm right in saying, I'll get this confirmed, anyone watching can please do in the comments if I'm getting this wrong. I think tier two is still
substantial restaurant meal.
Yeah, exactly, substantial meals. So it's, you know, again, the whole experience isn't quite going to be what we're used to. Anyone who thinks this is your season ticket's going to get you back in and you're going to be able to go to Sandon and stand shoulder to shoulder and four deep at the bar in the build up to it and all that, it's going to be very much a football going experience. It's going to be a bit like what we're currently doing, where you've got your appointment to view, you've got your time slot where the footy is on, you consume the footy and then you go home. Not quite that, because there'll be some, you might be able to go and say, what are the odds of you plus someone else you know getting a ticket? Probably quite minimal, really, at this time. But it's not to say you then couldn't go meet your mates for a meal after the game, or you could have a table booked somewhere and then you go on. And so you'll be able to do that, but it isn't going to be quite the experience, I think, that
I do like is the fact that I think it's the FA have basically looked at maybe moving some fixtures to see if clubs can, you know, if they can just push those fixtures back a few days so that clubs have got time to actually get fans in those first few games, because it's for those clubs that this money stream is going to be absolutely massive.
Yeah.
You know, for Liverpool, with the size of stadia, for other Premier League clubs, it actually probably isn't worth it at 1,000, 2,000 people to open the stadium.
Yeah.
But like, if you are Chester and you're getting at pretty much what you get every week through the door, then that could be a lifeline. So it's brilliant that the FA are even talking about moving fixtures for these.
Yeah. Well, we saw it.
Extra games.
We saw it almost accidentally when we were in Melwood a couple of years ago, and we saw through like an office door, and there was a whiteboard of like the cost breakdown of Melwood and how much it costs to have the lights on various pitches and undersole heating and all these kind of things. That's the thing about Anfield, is that you've got to turn the cop on. For example, so you've got to turn the cover, and it's not just like people think, like every egg of power that's into that building, we think it's on because it's not, but it won't be. Like the toilet, like the lights in the toilets won't be on, and the gas for the cookers won't be on, and all those things. The cost of powering the cop up is probably more than we would even begin to imagine. It's not like boiling the kettle. I mean, if you had your smart meter on that, and you saw that when you turned every light on in the cop, as a dad, I'd probably drop dead of a heart attack immediately. Like, I mean, get the heating turned down. You're not in that room. There's no one in the toilet. There's no one in the toilet right now. Get that light on a timer. You know what I mean? So the things that we don't
be finishing that room while light's still fucking on. Yeah,
fucking Blackpool illuminations in there, son.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Why is it so hot? So they're all the things that have to be factored in. And the biggest one, which is going to cause the biggest fucking headache and all this, because again, on the surface, Ross, boss, football fans into stadia, amazing, you know. And again, I think there'll be people for whom this is never going to be a problem. So if you're, you know, even if you've never been to Anfield and all you ever do is watch Liverpool on the telly, whatever, it's not a concern for you this upcoming debate, although it would be no less interesting. But like for me, because I've got a good idea for how we choose who goes in, right? I get my ticket, and then they can do whatever the fuck they want with the other 3,999. Because, and again, I'm joking. It's tongue in cheek, sort of, with all this. But that will be most people's things. And even the most magnanimous amongst us would be like, I've got this wonderful idea where we give them all to charity. My small fee for organising that will be I get my ticket. Ideal world is 4,000, Chris. Mm. As you say, 1 to 25. We already can't. 54,000 is not enough seats as it is. Now 4,000, that's not even, that's what, a quarter, yeah, well, a third of the capacity of the COP, for example. That's going to be an absolute fucking night. I don't envy the people whose job it is to sort that out.
The first protocol, and people would be pissed off about this, is it has to be a Liverpool City region postcode.
Yeah.
It just has to be because of the travelling and moving around the country. And when you can't freely do that and you're in and out of tiers, you have to say, it's got to be from this area here.
Now,
and that's your first port of call.
And again, sensible. But, you know, we've got some comments and there's an interesting one here, actually.
Whatever you do, someone's going to be pissed off.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Think about, I mean, God, Champions League final ballot is a great example of it, you know, at the other end of the scale. But like Football Hacks here saying in the comments, the issue is how do you determine who lives in the city? I use my uncle's ticket who lives in Liverpool, but I don't. I mean, you've answered your own question there, but this is the problem is.
It's like kids going to schools with the nan's postcode, though, isn't it? Yeah. Like, he'd get a ticket. And the club would be on a wish, and I'd be on a wish, so I'm not asked.
Exactly. There's going to be no perfect solution. It's not like people are going to go, you need to bring a photo of you with a recent newspaper next to your purple bin. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Nosley.
Yeah. Sorry, Heighton. Yeah. All the lads are like,
But no, look, that seems to be the way. And for me, there's a fairness element to it. Look, let's be honest, I'm going to put my name down. If there was a list, I'm putting my name down. You're putting your name down, you're putting your name down. There will be people out there that won't. There will be 75-year-old fellas who are shielding, or women who go, yeah, no, not for me this time around.
I can't imagine my dad will be keen to hurry back to Anfield.
So we naturally, I think, assume that everybody will want to go, because we would. I don't think that's quite the case.
But they might do it for their son or grandson, mightn't they?
Yeah, but first of all...
Sorry.
They're going to use this time to make sure the right person is coming in.
Yeah.
They are. And it's going to be track and trace. So you are going to have to sign in through apps and fucking stuff like that. So that type of stuff probably can't happen unless you're just lucky that you named John Machen Jr. Yeah. this time around or whatever. And secondly, for me, I'd be looking at
I was mentally calculating whether I'd change my name.
Yeah, well...
change my name just for the chance of getting back in Anfield.
Listen, let's not beat around the bush here. The clubs have been wanting to know who's coming into the ground for a long time. This speeds up that process for them massively. So that's a big thing. And then you've got this giant list. Let's say there's 100,000 people there. We'll start fucking randomised order, print them out. First 2,000, second 2,000, third 2,000. Share it as equally as you can.
Yeah, the thing is, there's no answer to this that doesn't lead to fume. Because I can guarantee, and I'm not actually going through to the comments while we've said it, but I've seen people say it already. There'll be immediately people who are, let's say again, Knowsley. You know what I mean? There's people who are just slightly beyond, or maybe you haven't quite got there. Maybe you've got a CH postcode. You know what I mean? You're just on the outskirts and you've been going for 50 years, because there'll be tons of these examples of these people. And then, well, hang on a second, why am I being excluded? And I wonder what, there's going to be a line, there's going to be a catchment area drawn, and there's going to be people upset that by millimetres they've missed out on eligibility for this thing. Yeah, but you're right, but there's going to have to be an acceptance that comes with this being, this is not now and now and forever. Like, if they told me, okay, and it's just for daft. I mean, I'm not against the idea of them going, right, Spy and Cop and their members or whatever, however they're organised, they get X amount because all the banners that are all over the Cop, they get to put back on poles and they get to have lads hold them up and wave them around. I've got no problem with them doing that, however many that looks like. And then you've got a certain amount that goes to, you could rotate it around schools in the city or whatever, get a bunch of young fans in or whatever if you wanted to do that way. And then the rest is, it's walking. It, you know, is there a 2 mile radius from around L4, and you work it there. And then when it increases, you slowly increase the radius as more things are allowed. it's not an ideal solution, but I could, and I would probably miss out on that as a result of that, but I could understand the fairness.
I think, again, someone's going to be upset whatever you do. I agree with Chris. I think you do, you know, localised postcode, season ticket holders, first and foremost. You know, they're ones that have paid large amounts of money for a long time. If you're at that catchment area, you know, or potential catchment area, you need to realise there's a pandemic going on. So have you have your annoyance and be done with it and realise, you know, again, it's a build and set towards something that's kind of going on. I have a concern. I'm not saying that this will happen, but I think at some level it might do because of the money that's involved. There'll be corporate tickets that will be allowed within this. Mm. Now, I know Spirit of Shankly are working with the club. I think they announced that this morning to kind of determine what's going on. But from a Liverpool and business perspective, there's people that have also paid large amounts of money to have those boxes, which can be managed properly, which I know will piss people off. I don't want to say I agree with it, but I think it's a concern going forward that will happen and we'll get people's backs up.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're right. That's going to be a major issue. And I wonder how Liverpool do handle it, because I can agree, again, if you're going to... There's a conversation to be had where if you're going to open Anfield back up, you want as much value from those tickets as you're going to get. Makes sense. But I think that will sit very uncomfortably with all of us if we find that. I just think there's a great opportunity to turn that. You know, there's nothing that can be done. We can't impact Liverpool wanting more tickets isn't going to make there be more tickets available, and the circumstances around it, the restrictions that are in place, you've got to turn a negative into a positive, you know. And again, it's not going to, you can't suit all of the people, but there is a chance here to simplify the whole endeavour to re-engage with a young local, you know, core of Liverpool fans that might have felt disenfranchised with the whole situation. I know this wouldn't necessarily be the COVID safe kind of thing, but, you know, I've said this for ages, it might open up to a... Do you have to queue to get a ticket? You know what I mean? That requires a whole other set of management and all that kind of stuff. Is it a first-come, first-served kind of situation?
Or you queue for the COVID cop?
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's like there's got to be
fucking hell.
The ballot thing is about the fairest as it gets, I think, isn't it? Because I think everyone, it's annoying, and because I think if it's who you open the ballot up to.
Well, those names that go into the first ones and get pulled out, they don't just out the ballot.
Yeah,
and then it goes to another 2,000 people, and another 2,000 people, and another 2,000 people. If you miss out, you miss out. I'm sorry. It's just the fucking way of the world, isn't it? You know what I mean? We have no divine right to tickets. And season ticket holders don't have a divine right to tickets because they haven't got a season ticket this year. Mm. As annoying as that is, that's the case.
Give it to NHS staff. Yeah. Let them have the first game.
Yeah, I have no things like that. But I think in terms of it, though, I think the season ticket side of things, you don't... I agree, because at the moment, you're right. You're not wrong, but it's... I don't know how away tickets would even work in this, you know, moving forward in this. Like, but that's the thing. There'll be no, because season ticket holders probably deserve as preferential a shout in all of this stuff. It'll definitely be season ticket holders or members. It's not going to be a blind ballot. It's not going to be a free for all. I'd imagine you're going to have to be registered with Liverpool Football Club in some way, shape, or form to do it. But I've seen people say, there's people in the comments, and you get this every time, people saying season ticket holders get too much preferential treatment anyway. I think you get to long term season ticket holders, you feel exactly the opposite.
Yeah. That's true. And there's no right answer here. And look, I can give you one example where season ticket holders shouldn't get it. Now, the ones who paid for the extra money when the main stand was open because they could afford to pay extra money and basically get past the list.
Yeah.
Like, why should they? Because they've been a season ticket holder for 3 years. Just as much as someone who's been a season ticket holder for 40 years because they've got more money than somebody else. Or why should they have more money? Because they've got more money, the lad who plays on his membership and plays the membership game properly for the last 15 years while he's been on the waiting list gets bumped by a season ticket holder who, because he had more money, was able to get one when the main stand opened. There's loads. It's just so nuanced. I don't think there's a right answer. You know, I'm not saying what I'm saying is right. I'm just saying there are different ways to look at season ticket holders, memberships, all that type of stuff.
No, yeah, absolutely. Because, again, there's probably a point at which is like there's just a filter, isn't there, by which you go, okay, well, you just, what's your starting point? So in order to be eligible, you've got to be a registered Liverpool FC member or a season ticket holder, and you have to have been registered for from last season say, or even from the prior to the start of the season. So you can't have people spamming it
now
to try and take advantage of that situation, and then it's filtered by L postcodes, and it could even be a postcode lottery version of that, where it's selected by a particular region. This will depend on what numbers, because you might find that once you've filtered that L postcode, and then maybe you have to say over a certain age, you can't be over the age of 65 and you can't be under the age of 13, because you're going to be sitting on your own, so you've got to be responsible for yourself in that regard anyway. And we might find that we'll need to know what that number looks like, and then they decide how they spread it out amongst that number. Because if that number's 50,000, 60,000, that's quite a big number. But if you find it's a bit lower than that, it might be.
But that's what I'm kind of saying, isn't it? Is that if that number's 50,000 and we get into 4,000 people in 8 weeks' time, then you could make a real dent in that list of 50,000, and almost everybody might be able to go at some point. If you're saying you get one game and then you're off that list, and then the list has dwindled down.
Yeah. I think a huge key to this is how Liverpool and other clubs handle it in a PR sense. A bit of transparency to everything that we're talking about now. When they come to announce who's getting tickets, whatever else, how have they come to that conclusion? What is the criteria? Because people will rightly be annoyed, but they go, well, if I don't tick this in this box, fair enough. The clubs will come out, listen, this is a shit show. You know, whatever we do is going to upset some people. I think I'd feel slightly better if it went, okay, Tarned, I don't make that list. This is the best of a bad situation.
Can we pretend we're Liverpool Football Club doing this for a second now, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm thinking is, I need more subscribers to LFC TV. So what we're going to do is, where's that fucking Lancelot lottery machine?
Yeah.
Get me that. Get me in the fucking studio.
Oh, like the draft. Like the Vietnam draft.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Your birthday.
We're doing it right in the studio, and you can only find out on LFC TV, £5 a month.
Yes,
no messing around.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, there you go. You've nailed it. Absolutely. Talk about like your water cooler telly. There's a bit of a replace, like the prime. Jürgen Klopp comes on at 5 o'clock on a Monday and a Friday. And he does the live draw, and then you've got to be watching. And if you don't reply within a certain amount of time...
Yeah, 50p a text, ask your fucking bill holder.
Radio City, they do that thing where they ring up and you've got to answer like... I'm Radio City, this is the man on tonight, and I want my £5,000, you know, and you've got to answer that. And if you don't, they hang up immediately and your ticket goes to someone else.
Got it.
Yeah, get the phone, get people in the call centre working again. Ticket office... Yeah, that's it. I think we've sorted it. Yeah. You've got to have an 0151 phone number, landline, and you've got to be between that age gap, and you've got to be a registered member. I mean, I'd have to find a landline to plug back into me, back into the wall in ours. But I'm sure I can make a couple of exceptions to that. Yeah. There's a chance to turn this into a really positive thing, I think. I think it's a great, there's a chance of a great PR move where you can say, It depends on perspective, because I don't want this to feel like we're deliberately alienating people from all around the world. And they're like, look, I think people know you're not going to be able to fly from another country to come and watch Liverpool in these kind of environments, and nor should you. And it sounds daft because this is going to be a boon, because I think, let's go back to your Chester argument. This is going to be a major boon to local football teams again. Because it should be. And I'm not doing this anything as trite as go and support your local team instead of supporting Liverpool. No, but if you want to go and watch footy, you've got as good a chance as ever now, and you know, a motivation to go and watch some more local games. And if it gets Liverpool back to being that for the Anfield community and all that kind of stuff, then that could actually be a win moving forward. God knows Everton will do it if we don't. So, you know,
Liverpool fans might do it. You're going to be craving your football fix. Now, 3,500 at a 7,000 stadium will generate a better atmosphere than it would Liverpool. Of course, it won't be the same, but we're also football fans. I've worked in non-league football. Like, it's not obviously not the same, but you know, as a football fan, it's still enjoyable.
Yeah.
I know I'm going into it knowing it's not the same.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's different. You can still enjoy it, and you still get that whole match day experience of going to a footy match. And
you might find you love it. I mean, last year, for me, I don't love any other thing or sporting team. I don't feel that affection for anything else that I feel for Liverpool, but I can enjoy the footy. But there might be tons of people who go. You know, you get bit, you get the bug, don't you?
Yeah.
For a footy team at some point in your life, and you might find that you just have that for another team that's going through something at the moment. But it's only a positive. We can see all the negatives that come with it, and we can see all the potential pitfalls, because God knows there's been so many missteps around this, in the recent months and the last year, really. But if there's a vaccine on the way, Chris, we're starting to talk about, there's mass testing available, and we're starting to talk about fans coming back into ground. This is all good stuff.
Yeah.
This is all, we're all dipping a baby toe here in towards a big pool that of normality, which is the most important thing about
that.
That's
it, isn't it? And that's the thing, but that's what also does my head in, is that, the people in power aren't asking the people whose job it is to think about these things. Like, they should have been consulting with the Premier League clubs, the clubs down the pyramid and stuff like that, because that's their sole focus, is how they're going to bring in people safely. The government's got other stuff going on, like massive things that they need to sort out, like how are we going to administer a vaccine to everybody in the country without the infrastructure to deliver a vaccine to everybody in the country and all that type of stuff. They've got loads going on. The football clubs could have come together and they could have decided how they're individually going to be able to do it and stuff. But broadly speaking, it is great news. Yeah. We want to see fans back in the footy.
I just think there's probably something here, because we talked about this fan code of conduct and what have you, that there's, they need to spell out what this looks like, I think, for fans as much as possible, don't they, Ross? What it looks like, what are the practicalities of it, and have that, that should be going through the door. If you can send a bar of Cadbury's to every Liverpool season ticket holder, then you can send a letter to everyone explaining exactly what it looks like and what the experience is going to be like and what you can and can't do in that environment. And I'm seeing people in the comments, and I'm sure we'll see plenty of reactions to this. It just won't be for everyone, and that's fine. And the time will come when it'll be back to normal. It might be this time next year, and whatever. And it's, for some people, it'll be worth the wait. For some people, will be desperate to go and try it and sample it and see what it's all like. But yeah, I want to see it. I want to be one of them. I want to hope. If I've got the choice of my games, I'll wait for the one where we lift the league title. All told,
good luck with that.
Yeah. But yeah, God, imagine that one. Imagine getting that. Yeah, to our ballots being turned over by the mob, when that kind of stuff happens. But no,
but that's the thing, isn't it? I think you have to remember, we all want to go because we miss football, but we also want to go because we've got one of the best teams in our lifetimes that we're fucking witnessing.
Yeah.
Despite all the injuries and still winning games, you want to go back and feel football, not just watch it. You want to be in that ground and see, all these superstars that you watch. We used to watch them twice a week.
No, just a note on this then, just looking ahead and what it could mean. Again, it will depend on what tier the Liverpool City region ends up in after lockdown and what have you. But the first home game after this is Saturday the 5th against Wolves, Chris. If that's a little bit too soon, the next home game, Tottenham Hotspur on the 16th of December, could be a massive 6-pointer, title challenger versus title challenger. That gets me quite excited about that prospect. It's not going to be 54,000 people singing the Si Senor, but
anyone singing, Paul?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
there's got to be something we can do there, like fucking a mime troupe or a dance troupe who can just get an atmosphere with no noise. Are we going to do
the Iceland thunderclap thing? Isn't it just whatever it takes.
The particles go away from your hands.
Well, don't do it near me then.
Maybe 25 seats away from me.
Okay,
so you've got spare seats either side of you. Just bang the spare seats. Anything, whatever. But again, just on that, if that looks the most likely if all of the circumstances are allowing, Liverpool will have fans hopefully in the ground for Tottenham Hotspur at home. Oh. Yeah.
You should definitely just give it to someone whose birthday's that week.
Yeah, definitely. The birthday falls within, a month of that date. Absolutely, absolutely spot on, yeah. Yeah, really good stuff regardless. So yeah, let us know your thoughts on it in the comments, or you can tweet us at the Redmen TV as well. Buzzing, cannot wait. It definitely feels like a step in the right direction, and it means we'll have to sort out how we manage to what we do content wise. But that's a different problem, different headache for a different day. Guys, thank you very much. It's been absolutely wonderful. Hope you've enjoyed it at home as well. If you're listening on a podcast, then make sure you leave a 5-star review. And if you want some fantastic Liverpool-related Christmas presents, get ordering some Redmen merch now. We've got Christmas sweatshirts and T-shirts this time around. If it's a bit, you know, if you've got the heating on too much, and you know, if your dad's not got a tight rein on it all.
Live in Australia.
All of those things, so you can get involved with that. There's obviously books, the Champions of Everything is there, and there's mugs and all that kind of stuff, so go and check it out. But yeah, if you're outside the UK, don't forget, today, if you're watching this live, you listen to this on Tuesday, today is your last day. Get it ordered for guaranteed Christmas delivery. If you're UK, you've got a bit more time after that, but don't sleep on it. You don't want to be that fool who misses out, because I've warned you, I've told you, and if you don't do it, it's on you from now on. But yeah, thanks very much for watching, for listening, for subscribing, and we'll see it all soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.